Welcome, welcome. This is our Savior. We're here. We hope you're here. And as Fox and Friends says, get dressed. It's going to be a great day.
We don't want to look.
Sun is out. We have much to be thankful for this day. I hope you enjoy our journey today, for it is a journey as we walk together through this journey with Christ as He leads us. So welcome, welcome to our Savior.
And this is our prelude selection, softly and tenderly.
Calling for you and for me. See, on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Savior, we have gathered in-house broadcasting crew and wonderful service at WPHM. Reminder to everybody, 12 noon tomorrow, we shall have our podcast there. Last week's podcast was lost, but all the rest of them are up there for the last 6 to 8 months. So please go there anytime you want to binge watch or listening to our Savior. It's www, and it's WPHM. And it's .net, okay? So, Radio This Day is sponsored by no less than wonderful Mary Patterson. She was most patient when she called to have a sponsorship because it's for her birthday, which was earlier in the month. Thank you, Mary, for your birthday, and thank you for sponsoring this broadcast out there to our community, and by podcast, to the world. Thank you very much. Now, the next sponsorship is next week. It's in memory of the 60th anniversary, if Roger was still here in person, with Roger and Donna Taylor. So Donna Taylor, sponsor. Thank you, Donna. Now, in August, we do have 3 dates open, the 9th, the 16th, and the 30th. So if you'd like to sponsor them, those are available. Well, we're here to worship our great God. The lessons for the last couple weeks have been parables, so will be the gospel this week, which we were discussing at our in-house Bible study on Thursday, changed from Wednesday due to weather. So, gathering him this day, when I survey the wondrous cross, by the group Sila, which means to praise, from their album, Be Still My Soul.
Prince of Glory.
his hands, his feet. Sorrow and love going down. Dear, such love and sorrow.
Everybody's
sound
awake.
Reverberates inside the building.
Oh!
It's corrected. Nothing's wrong. Didn't happen yesterday, but it did today. Sound waves, atmosphere. That's why you can't run a tape. You gotta be live. Survey that wondrous cross. Next part of the liturgy, which is our gathering together, is the invocation salutation, where there's a naming who we're gathering in whose presence. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Now we come clean with God because this world does not want to acknowledge its guilt. God wants to hear our prayers, our confession, and our forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen.
Amen.
Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and not rely on our own efforts. We abuse your great creation
that you provided enough for all.
Oh, skip the line. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your spirit, lead us. So that we may live and serve you in newness of life.
Amen.
Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hymn of Praise is the next part of the liturgy of the Lutheran family and Christian family. Hymn of Praise selected for this day is from our Lutheran choir at St. Olaf College. one of the global known choirs, Lutheran ELCA. Praise to the Lord is the selection. It's going to come in. It's just the prelude, and you're going to get this marvelous choir. Gentle, but full power.
Of these people that are singing, I think that's what's the most uplifting. And sometimes the screeching that happens is we're so deep in thought that it just wakes us up again. Little blue, but good
morning. Didn't happen yesterday, happened today, whatever's going on in the atmosphere. Controls have not changed. The Lord be with you.
And also with you. Beloved and sovereign God, through the death and the resurrection of your Son, you bring us into your kingdom of justice and mercy. By your Spirit, give us your wisdom, that we may treasure the life that comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Our readings start with 1 Kings, chapter 3, in selected verses. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father, David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today comes from 119, selected verses. As John told me yesterday, this is a very, very long psalm. The antiphon is, "When your word is open, it gives light and understanding." The psalm. "Your decrees are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them with all my heart."
When your word is opened, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple.
I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments.
Turn to me and be gracious to me. As you always do to those who love your name. When your word is opened, it gives light and understanding.
Order my footsteps in your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me.
Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments.
Let your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes.
My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your teachings. When your word is opened, it gives light and understanding.
When I went over this yesterday and was pondering all of the things that this short take out from Psalm 119, it reminded me that I needed to get out my Bible, open up my Bible, and get back to the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not get caught up with people telling us what God has said. Let's go back to what
firsthand
God has written for us. So when your word is open, there's light and understanding.
Yes.
Even I did not mean to digress, but that came to light
that's
to
relevant.
Me.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, it's relevant.
The second lesson is from Romans chapter 8. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words.
Mm-hmm.
And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he have called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ who died. Yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of the God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? It is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Cheryl. The gospel reading of the day, and I parenthetically will add here that we are videotaping this later to be put on Facebook later this Sunday afternoon, so you can see behind the scenes and hear again the scriptures, the sermon, and the beautiful music chosen for this day. So,
yay.
The gospel reading, Matthew 13th chapter, Parables of Our Lord, beginning with verse 31. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus put before the crowd another parable. Actually, there's going to be five. So get ready. He flings them out there. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Somebody took and sowed in his field. Now, it's the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it's the greatest of the shrubs and becomes even a tree, so that the birds of the air can come and make their nest in the branches. Then he told him another parable, number two. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in three measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Number three. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden out in the field where somebody found it and they hid it into the ground. And then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys the field to possess that treasure. Parable four. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. It's like the program on public broadcast of the treasures and what is this antique worth, right? Upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. The fifth parable. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. It's thrown into the sea and catches up fish of every kind. When it's full, it's drawn back to the shore and put the good into baskets and the bad fish thrown away worthless. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous, throw them into the fire, furnace of fire, where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? Jesus asked. They answered, yes, O liars. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe, and they were scribes among the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're the ones who transcribed the laws, the Decalogue, the Torah, has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a household who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with you. This is one of those days all three lessons could be worthy of 2 hours, but our time on radio is limited to 60 minutes. I have about 17 of those minutes, so we're going to talk about all three because you've got to hear the whole countenance of God's word. Not just bits and pieces like you sometimes hear on television. This is not just another day in paradise. You and I know we live in the real world. We know there are troubles. Our national leaders need to be leaders. They need to be God-sensitive, God-led, and not ego-driven, and not, what, gaining wealth and accumulation for themselves. So here's the first reading from 1 Kings 3. Now, if you know your history of Israel, who are the first three kings of Israel, Hope? I'm putting my daughter on the spot live on radio and video. First king, Saul.
Solomon.
No, not Solomon. Who follows Saul? When he loses the blessing of God, it goes to?
David.
Good. Bethel Bible series is coming back.
David
will die, as we all do. No, it wasn't crap.
I know.
It was Solomon, third king of Israel. She didn't get the answers right. She doesn't win the prize.
Apparently, I need to read you Bethel Bible series.
Gotta pull out your Bible, like Mom said. Okay. See, we're not television. We're not polished. We don't have hired producers. We don't script produce. We're humans who love the Lord Jesus Christ. So Solomon is now heir apparent, now to be crowned king, coronation. Now, what comes to my mind, because my brain freely floats between culture and scripture. Oh, that's dangerous. I had to go to Google and see what year it was. It was 1992. And it was Aladdin came out by Disney.
Yes.
And the main star was whom, Hope?
Aladdin.
No. Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah, he played the narrator and...
He was the genie. And he would sing all the songs, and it was just... He comes up to Aladdin, and he says, "What do you wish, master?" Imagine if God came up to you and said, "You're the next king. Ask me anything. Wealth, power, prestige. I can give you anything because you're the child of my beloved son, David." It's like the genie coming to you and said, "Oh, what can I give you?" What would you say? Think about it. If God said, "I can give you anything, what do you want? You want eternal life? We're dealing with that. Do you want wealth, fame, fortune, so that people will renown you and build buildings after you and bridges and all these things? Is that what you want? Do you want a reputation? Do you want wealth? You go into Congress a pauper and you come out a millionaire? Is that what you want to be, a congressional person? What do you want out of this world? You want to be the head of the executive empire? You want to be the head of Amazon? Head of Microsoft? What is it you want? You want a family that functions well? Good luck. And if you want certain other things, what do you want? I bet you God wouldn't be in the top list of 1,000 for most people. What do you want, Solomon? See where I'm going on this? That's the ultimate question. What is it we seek from life and from God? Well, position is Solomon asked for the right thing. You know, when you make a choice and God gives you an opportunity, you better choose wisely. Because you may live to, you know, it's kind of like prayer. We say, watch what you pray for, you just might get it. Well, Solomon asked for the right thing, wisdom, to discern, so he could be a good ruler. I wonder how many politicians in November's elections, or any of the elections throughout the year for all other offices, ever say, "Lord, I just want to make right decisions to guide my people and not fatten my wallet or my accounts. I don't want to accumulate power so I can stay in Congress for 36 years. I don't want these things that the world craves. I want a clear thought, spirit discerning guidance that only you give me, the courage to stand for my convictions and speak them forthrightly as you would guide." If we had leaders like that, we would not have problems around in this nation today. But we know reality. God's word is real to the real situation. We're a divided nation. We were with Vietnam. I saw it back in March. This nation was dividing. And the realization is the leaders offer us no real choices. They just are kind of programmed from the old schools. And in the course of life, you know, you can choose if you're red or blue or you try to be purple. Bottom line is, there's only one thing you need to be, and that's God-pleasing. Not choosing those sides, but choosing God's side. And not standing sometimes with the crowd, but standing alone. So there's Solomon. Now, good news is he chose the right thing. Synopsis, Reader's Digest, abridged version. He died a totally far removed man from God. You see, in the book of the Kings, Old Testament, Solomon, while he started and made wise decisions, don't kill that child, split him in two, and you each walk away with half of him. Remember that story? His wisdom is demonstrated. Well, he was foolish because Solomon decided to have 1,000 wives. My goodness, having one is more than full-time duty. 1,000 wives, 800 concubines. That's his sexual partners. I don't know how he had time to be king. But in the course of all that, with each queen and each one he married, he brought in their priests and their religions so that the faith of Yahweh, the true God, was mingled with the gods of this world. And God really really, really was angry at Solomon. Solomon dies, and the empire divides. Northern kingdom will become Israel. Southern kingdom will become Judah. And the nation was no longer one because of the sin of Solomon. Bad news. He didn't stay the course. Second reading, Romans. This gives me warm fuzzies. This text speaks to many times in my life. Maybe you can resonate when I share some things to your life and your faith journey in the days you live. I've used this text so many times. There's two favorite texts that I use, three favorite texts that I use for funerals. One is the 23rd Psalm. That's an easy one. You can apply that to all of our lives. Second one and third one are from the New Testament. Second one is John 14. I will leave you, but I don't leave you forsaken, so that where I am, you may be also, and I'm going to come back and make sure you don't get lost. I'm going to take you to me. Okay? You got to love that. Third one is this one, Romans. It's not Jesus speaking, it's Paul writing. Now, you may say to yourself, well, it's easy for Paul to write. He's probably sitting in his lounge chair in some comfy place, pulled out a ballpoint pen or a keyboard, and started writing this. No. He's in house arrest by the Roman authorities. He's going to die, and he doesn't have paper. He doesn't have a keyboard. He doesn't have a computer. And by the grace of God, the word was transcribed and brought to us 2,000 years later. In the course of that, he says, I see that no matter what can happen to me in these dark dungeons, in these prisons, no matter what people say or think of me, I have walked my path of faith. I have faced persecution. I've faced verbal assaults, physical trauma, and I know the love of God and the spigot that delivers it to my life is not shut off, and it can never be shut off. Nothing can stop me from receiving God's love in my life's journey, even to the grave. Satan cannot steal it from me. God is more powerful. Can I hear a Baptist amen? God is more powerful than Satan. So at the beginning of this passage for today, Paul's been talking about baptism for the preceding 3 weeks. If you've been with us, or go back to our podcast, go back to the gospel text. Baptism, chapter 6. Conflict, division in my body. I want to do what's right, but gee, it's so easy to just slop through life and do what I please, not what I should do. My moral compass is broken. No. Should we sin more? No. But God is with us in our daily struggle. So now, as he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit in us, even in our prayer life, when you and I are searching for words, when we pick up, I picked up the headlines of the newspaper this morning from yesterday's paper. See, I'm always a day late and a dollar short. And when you hear on the news, COVID death since yesterday. Oh, you get nauseated, right? And you say to yourself when you get phone calls that do not have good news but bad news of people dying, reading newspapers in obits, oh, come on. Where's the good news? So Paul says, when you're exasperated, when you're wrung out, when you don't know where to turn because it's not going to be in media and it's not going to be in social media, good news. In our weakness, the Holy Spirit comes to us and talks to us. And then takes what's going on inside your gut. The Hebrew always understood, and now we're beginning to learn in health, that the real source of our being is in our intestines, our guts. It's there where we feel a lot of things in life that we don't even tell others. And it acts itself out in terms of intestinal or bodily pains. So that Spirit intercedes and makes all those things that are just unsettling, troubling, disturbing of sleep. And it takes it to the throne of God and presents it there. Where else can we go? What else can do it? I can't do it here on planet Earth in the midst of being the problem too. It's got to be God. This is not my human attempt to reach God. This is God's attempt to reach me. You see, the truth of the gospel is it's not our doing. It's God's doing. I hate it when people say things. Oh, I just feel like I got to pray. No, you don't. God's bringing you on your knees. God wants you to pray. So in the midst of that, Paul and his struggles, you and I and our struggles, we know our source and we know that the love is not going to be stopped on God's end. Check our valve and check our radio. Make sure it's on to God. Third lesson, here we go rolling. Parables. At our Bible study this Thursday, several of the people said, oh, I just love the parables. I do too, if Jesus gives us the open key to tell us what it means. In the text before us, he fires five parables. I tried to number them for you. We'll quiz you after the sermon. What are the parables? Well, number one, the kingdom of heaven. Notice all five deal with the kingdom of heaven. So, mustard seed. Oh, I've done this for children's sermons. I find myself a mustard seed, and I've got a petunia seed. In our culture, our continent, a mustard seed is not the smallest seed. So I get something kind of microscopic, a petunia seed. And you can't even pick it up, but it can stick to your sweaty finger. If you've ever planted petunia seeds, you know what I'm speaking of. So you drop it into the soil. It's so tiny. But I tell you what, I've got baskets of petunias growing in my backyard. Now, it's not a bush and it's not a tree. Mustard seed, shrub tree, I get it. But out of that teeny, 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 tiny seed comes magnificent life, God's purpose for its being on planet Earth. Second one, another parable, yeast. Oh, remember the first few months of the lockdown? People were buying flour, bread flour, yeast. You couldn't find them at any stores, not even GFS, that tends to be grocery stores for restaurants. Everybody was making homemade bread, so you know what I'm talking about. We make it to her house. So in the course of things, a little bit of yeast with three measures of flour. Well, with a, you know, just effervescence, bacteria, gases released, dough rises. That's the reason why in history, the Passover used unleavened bread because it would take time for the yeast to rise. But the kingdom of heaven is so good in your life, my life. It just swells and overabounds and effervesces and gives glory to the God who created it, like the yeast. There's a merchant. He knew a good deal when he could see it. Or the other one who's out in the field and he finds pearls. There's two parables, this is a tongue twister, two parables about pearls. Say that fast. One is finding it, the other one is acquiring it and purchasing, and you rejoice. When you get the real, you know, insider trading, all those people got in trouble with Congress, courts, and went to jail, insider trading. When you find the right investment, you're ready to pounce on that. You're going to make a fortune, right? Well, here it is. It's God's love for you. Yesterday I saw on Facebook things about people showing off their boats on the lake south of the bridge. And that's great. Men's toys are cute, but they pass away. Motors wear down, gasoline has to be purchased, and boats depreciate. But the kingdom of God is not like that. It is eternal and of ultimate value. Now, the last one, which has confounded theologians for centuries, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. Now, interpreters would suggest that the fish that are caught is the church of Jesus Christ. You remember how last week's parable was about weeds growing with the seeds. Don't disturb the weeds. When the fish come in, it's not your call who's going to take them. And just, you're only going to take the best and throw them away or not even catch them. No. God's going to send his angels. And he's going to do the sorting. You and I are biased, right? So God will do it. And the truth of it is, there's going to be a judgment, America. There's going to be a judgment, the nations of the world. And it's not going to be American value judgment. It's not going to be a white people judgment. It's not going to be an Afro-American, any racial group judgment. Pause. It's going to be God's judgment. And there is no higher court of appeals. If you have ears, Jesus warns, and I hope we do, we'll take God's word seriously. We understand we live in difficult times. We understand it's troubling. Lord, discern us. Tell us what your will is and your way. And we limply go through life and just yield humbly for the Spirit of God to empower our daily living. And I hope you can say with me, amen.
Amen.
We affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, on our hymn of the day, sermon hymn, Hope and I first heard this 10 days ago. It's one of my newer collections by Josh Turner. Great is thy faithfulness. You just melt when you hear it. So hear this music. Praising God. God is great.
Great is your faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. You never change your compassions, they fail not. As you have been, you forever will be. Great is your faithfulness, great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hands have I see. All I have needed, your hands have provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and the peace that's enduring, your own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is your faithfulness, great is your faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hands have provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Well, did he a little Pentecostal and a little Baptist for being Lutheran? Amen. So let it be.
Confident in your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Merciful God, your reign is revealed to us in common things: a mustard shrub, a woman baking bread, a fishnet. Help your church witness to the surprising yet common ways you encounter us in daily life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
When your word is opened, it gives light and understanding. Increase our understanding and awe of your creation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Guide the work of scientists and researchers treasuring the earth. May we live in grateful and healing caretakers of our home. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As the birds of the air nest in branches of trees, gather the nations of the world into the welcoming shade of your merciful reign. Direct leaders of nations to build trust with each other and walk in the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes for the saints according to your will. Help us when we do not know how to pray. Give comfort to the dying, refuge to the weary, justice to those who are oppressed, and healing to the sick. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You show steadfast love and direct us to ask of you what we need. Help this congregation ask boldly for what is most needed. Refresh us with new dreams of being your people in this place and time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In you, our lives are never lost. Strengthen us by the inspiring witness of your people in all times and places. Embolden our witnesses now and one day. Gather us with all your saints in light. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. And gracious God, we raise up lives of our friends, our community, and our families who are either ill by other things, cancers, dementia, all the things that assail this body and weaken us as we age, gracious God. Be with those in our nursing homes under special care, in our hospitals, in our intensive care units. Gracious God, bring your presence through those who serve you as medical and spiritual leaders in the healing of your people. And gracious God, especially we ask for your blessing with Joe Coulthard as he's returned home with dear Elvira. They need your touch, Lord, with the weakness of body that assails us through complications of life. We pray you be with Lloyd Parker as he's recovering at an external place at the present time from Lois. Be with them both, Lord, after all these years of marriage, now to be separated these past several weeks. Be with Donna Taylor as she still walks the path, only inch by inch, seeing a little glimmer of your light in the uncertainty of life, the perilous condition of cancer. Be with her in her journey. Gracious God, for these and all the people around this earth, boy, your lines must be busy. Be with us and grant these things. So in certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer all these prayers to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue in our prayers as our Lord taught us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. One last announcement to end announcements. Our lawn care this week is sponsored by Judy Avers. Mary Patterson will do it the week of the 2nd and the 9th of the month of August. Now, I have, because we're totally live and spontaneous, altered things. We're going to jump to our sending hymn, because I want us all to hear it. Here I Am, Lord, St. Olaf Choir, ELCA College in Minnesota. That's the way the Norwegians talk.
Yeah. And just so people are aware, since we're closing, we want you to go in peace. Speak boldly for Christ, not for yourselves.
Be hope.
Go in peace. Love God.
And here we are. Lord, use us. Be a bright spot for somebody. Give them hope. God's hope. Not false hopes of this world. Here it comes louder. The choir is going to come in boldly. Find us on podcast on Monday after 12 minutes.